I'm sure all of us who are older have had opportunities in life where we've been given a second chance. Something happened where maybe we didn't do something right, and we're given another opportunity to do right. Sherry and I went to a college that was based on a demerit system, and when you messed up, you got a demerit. And it was sort of a warning, if you will. But if you got a certain number of demerits, then there was a severe penalty. I remember one year in my more immature days where I saw how close I could get to that final number, you know, before actually getting it. I think it was 10. If you got 10, then there was going to be a serious consequence. So I thought I would get 9, you know. The policeman pulls you over for speeding, and rather than giving you a ticket, gives you a warning. Well, what have they given you? A second chance. A creditor says, well, I'll give you another 30 days, you know, to pay that bill, or whatever the case might be. It may be a health situation, maybe something at work, and maybe a boss says something, maybe something in our family, maybe something in our personal lives where we didn't do something right. And a statement is made, and that something's done where we're given another opportunity to clear that up. I think about the scripture reading this morning with Peter. Jesus knows that he's going to deny him, but he's given another opportunity, isn't he? And so on the day of Pentecost, he powerfully stands up and undoes all of that wrong that he had done in denying the Lord. And so Peter made good on his second chance. But do we? You know, when we're given a second chance, there's that feeling of relief. There's that feeling of ease and you know, I get to maybe have another opportunity to do this right. What do we do with that? Some wisely use those in a good way and do what is right down the road. Others squander that. I think about some of the things that we've been studying in Ezra and Nehemiah and how that God punished Israel in the Babylonian captivity. And here they are. They're given a new opportunity, a brand new beginning, a new lease on life. And they come back, and what do? The scripture says that they're doing some of the same things that sent them into Babylonian captivity. They're doing the same things again. So some of those people are just squandering that new lease on life, as it were. I want us to think about that this morning as we look at an Old Testament lesson with regard to Hezekiah. If you'll turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 38. Recently, I was doing some reading in Isaiah, and I was reading this chapter, and I was impressed not only with the story of Hezekiah's sickness, because I'd been familiar with that before and how he's recovered from that, but what impressed me was Isaiah's account of this includes a song that Hezekiah sings and praises God with, and really he's talking about this new lease on life, this second chance. And I want us to look at this story, and I want us to ask ourselves, when God gives us those opportunities in life to have a second chance, how are we using those in His sight and in our relationship with Him? Of course, when we turn to Isaiah chapter 38, we're given the story of Hezekiah's sickness and recovery. It's also found in 2 Kings chapter 20, 1 through 11. It's found in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. If you were to start in 2 Chronicles, there's just a brief statement there about how that Hezekiah is sick and then he recovers. If you turn over to 2 Kings 20, then more information is given about that, how he recovered and some other, and Hezekiah's prayer and those types of things. So more details are added. But when you turn to Isaiah 38, everything is included. And so that's the neat thing about looking at parallel accounts of the same story. All of them work together to add in different kinds of information. And it reminds us of the value of the time that we're given in life. We have a limited amount of time. And as we go through life, there's going to be times when we don't do what is right. And when God gives us another opportunity, what are we doing with that second chance, that new lease on life? Because Effectively, this really is what the story is about. Here's a man who is dying. He's told to set his house in order, and all of a sudden he's given 15 more years. That's a second chance. That's a new lease on life. How does he use it? How would you use it? What if you were on your deathbed and God just gave you 15 more years? Would we go back to doing the same thing? Would next week be the same as last week? Or would we change some things? It really teaches us, reminds us of the time that God gives us. And it reminds us that God really is willing to give us opportunities. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But what are we doing with those things that God gives us? What are we doing with that extra time? What are we doing with those new opportunities to make right that God is giving us? And He's not doing it in the same way. He's not doing it with a miracle. We're going to talk about this morning about the shadow going backward. He's not doing that today. I'm not suggesting that. But He's giving us opportunities. We can call them new leases on life, second chances. And I want us to think about that with regard to Hezekiah's sickness. So this morning, then, I want to look at three things with regard to this story. We're going to look at his sickness. And then in Isaiah, we're told something that's not found in the other accounts. He had a song. He offered up a song of praise, and there's some really neat things said in there. And that's really what caught my attention a few weeks back when I was reading this, the song and some of the things that he said. And then we're going to look at his second chance, and we're going to be given a glimpse of a little bit of that 15-year period. You might be thinking, well, how did he use that 15 years? Well, we're given a little bit of a glimpse of that. And that's kind of interesting. And we need to be asking ourselves, how are we using the time that God gives us? So let's begin with the sickness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38 then. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. In other words, his sickness was such that it was going to cause him to die. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said, thus saith Jehovah, set thy house in order, for you shall die and not live. Is there something that you need to set in order this morning? Is there something that you need to make right this morning in your life? Because you are going to die. I am going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. What do you need to get in order before that day comes? Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And so we find that he has this sickness. Now what's interesting is that if you look at the parallel accounts, and you turn, for example, to 2 Kings 18 and verse 2, and you find out how old he was when he began to reign. And when you read in verse 13 that Sennacherib comes up to attack him in the 14th year of his reign, what you find is that this is literally about halfway through his life. It's about halfway through his reign. Okay, he reigned 29 years. But this is in the 14th year, and then God gives him 15 more years, and so 14 and 15 is 29. This is about halfway through. And what's interesting is, jump down to verse 10, when Isaiah begins his song, what does he say? In the noontide of my days, I shall go to the gates of death. In the noontide, what is that? When is that? The middle of the day. This is literally the middle of his reign, the middle point of his life right now. He would be 39 years old when you do the math, looking at 2 Kings 18 and verse 2 and so forth. He'd be 39 years old. So when he says, in the noontide of my days, I don't know if he knew the math or had thought about it, but that actually is going to match up with what is going on. So he's 39 years old and he gets sick and he's going to die. Isaiah tells him to set his affairs in order. And you and I need to set our affairs in order. And we don't need to keep saying, well, I'll have another Sunday or another Wednesday night or I'll have another gospel meeting. We need to do that because we don't know when our end is coming. And then we find in verses 2 through 3 that Hezekiah prayed. Read with me. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Jehovah and said, remember now, O Jehovah, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Some of that has to do, if you read, for example, in the Chronicles passage and the Kings passage, that Hezekiah had done several reforms and had done a lot of good in Jerusalem. So he's referencing that, and he's praying to God. He wants some help with this matter. Well, then God answers the prayer. And here's Hezekiah and answers the prayer. And he's going to give Hezekiah more time. Look at verse 4. Then came the word of Jehovah to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says Jehovah, the God of the David thy father, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend it. I will defend this city. And from this shall be the sign unto thee from Jehovah, that Jehovah will do this thing that he hath spoken." So God is going to answer Hezekiah's prayer. He's going to give him more time. Notice the mention of delivering Jerusalem from Assyria. This is the reference to the previous chapter, 37, Sennacherib coming up against Assyria. And we know how that God miraculously sent the angel out and killed all of those Assyrian soldiers, and they have to go home defeated. So that's a part of this as well. And it's in the 14th year, which would make Hezekiah 39 years old. Now we get to the part of this matter of the miracle. We find in verses 8, 9, and 10, this miracle. "Behold, I will cause the shadow on the steps which has gone down to the dial of Ahaz." Start in verse 7. "And this shall be the sign unto thee from Jehovah, that Jehovah will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the steps which has gone down on the dial of Ahaz with the sun to return backward 10 steps. So the sun returned 10 steps on the dial whereon it was gone down." Now hold your hand there and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. If you start reading in verse 1, you have the same thing. Hezekiah's sickness. He's told to get his affairs in order. He prays to God. God answers his prayer. Let's pick up the reading in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 8. "And Hezekiah sent unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that Jehovah will heal me?" He's asking for a miracle. "And that I shall go up unto the house of Jehovah the third day." And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign unto thee from Jehovah, that Jehovah will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow return backward 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto Jehovah, and he brought the shadow 10 steps backward by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz." My American Standard says the dial of Ahaz. Now, turn back to Isaiah chapter 38. What is this miracle? Well, whatever it is, the shadow that is being seen there, cast from the sun, is going backward. It's retreating. But what is it retreating on? Well, the versions, the English translations are divided, and so are the commentators. For every commentator you pick up that says one thing, you'll pick up another one that says another thing. But they are mentioning two things here. This is either a shadow that is being cast on some kind of a dial, or some versions say a sundial. American Standard, King James, New King James, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard. It's the dial or the sundial of Ahaz. The New American Standard, NIV, Holman Christian Standard, and the New ESV say either the steps of Ahaz or the stairway of Ahaz. Now, again, the English translations are divided, the commentators are divided. One thing that we're certain of is that this is a miracle that God is performing, where he's taking a shadow, 2 Kings 20, and he's making that shadow move backwards. We may not know exactly what the instrument is. Is it a dial or a sundial, or is it a series of steps? Now, if I had to pick one, I would be inclined to go with the matter of the steps for this reason. First of all, the Hebrew word here literally means to elevate, to go up by step. If you'll notice in 2 Kings chapter 20, something very important here. In 2 Kings chapter 20, when it comes to the matter of the dial of Ahaz, right there at the end of verse 11, or the steps of Ahaz, what we need to understand is that that word had been used already in verse 9 and in verse 10. Twice in verse 9, twice in verse 10. Once already in the first part of verse 11, and each time it steps. That's what the Hebrew word means. It means to go up by step, to ascend. And in verse 9 and 10, it's every time it steps. And then we come to this last one time that it's used. It's the same word. The context hadn't changed. But then sometimes someone will say a dial or a sundial. And then other versions just keep that same English translation, and they'll say the steps, just like in verse 9, 10, 11, steps. And then we get down to the blank of Ahaz. They just put steps in there. It's the same word. And that's a good use of looking at the immediate context. But it means to go up, to ascend, to elevate. And so the idea of stepping upward. Not only that, but the only other place in which it's used in this book, in 2 Kings, is in chapter 9 and verse 13. And it's just a regular set of stairs. It's a regular set of steps. And so I would be inclined to lean toward the steps of Ahaz or the stairway of Ahaz. But I certainly wouldn't be contentious about that, because the main thing is a shadow is coming backward. And so let's take, for example, if it were, and by the way, the word is used about 20 times in the Old Testament. And with the exception of this verse right here that we're trying to look at, every other time it's steps. And outside the scripture, if you look in your book of Psalms and they have little titles, some of the Psalms will say a psalm of ascent or a song of degrees. It means a song that Israel sang as they were going up to Jerusalem. The idea means to elevate, to go up. And so that's the idea in its literal sense, and it's used that way about 20 times in the Old Testament. And so I would say most likely that that's what's going on here. But if, for example, it were a sundial, and if that's the point, then it makes for a neat little science project. I remember when I was younger making one of these, but this was done in ancient Mesopotamia, even before the days of Hezekiah, so sundials would have been used at this time. You have a flat surface, and the reason that some translations have sundial or dial of Ahaz is each one of these then would be a step around the dial, you see. And so it's the idea that the shadow is moving step by step. And they would use this to keep time. And you can even make one. The kids can make one. It's fun to do. In the northern hemisphere, this lowest point would be pointing north. But if you lived in the southern hemisphere, this lowest point needs to be pointing south. You have to orient it just right in the north and south axis. But when you do that, as the earth rotates, the sun hits this what's called a gnomon. It could be just one rod. It could be like a triangular piece of board sticking up. When the sun hits it from this side, it makes a shadow. And they learned that you could make a clock throughout the day, and you could, you know, divide up the hours and the minutes of the day. And so if it is a dial or a sundial, then this shadow that's here is actually moving backward. And that would have been impressive. If it is the steps of Ahaz or the stairway of Ahaz, this is actually found in ancient cities, where people in ancient cities would build a stairway down. One would be facing east and the other one would be facing west. And when the sun was straight overhead at noontime, there would be no shadow whatsoever. In the morning, it would cast a shadow this way, and as the sun moved over, there would be no shadow on the ground. And then as the sun moved this way, or as we know, the earth rotating, then the shadow is being cast, and the shadow would come up these steps. In the morning, it would come up these steps, and in the afternoon, it would come up these steps. It's very impressive, and they learned how to build those, and you can see some of those among ancient ruins. This may have been what is going on. Here is an artist description then of maybe what would have happened. So here's Isaiah, and he's got his figs there. And we know that in the story that the figs were applied and Hezekiah recovered. But here would be some sort of a rod sticking up or a pillar. And then here are the steps, and there's the shadow right there. It may have been something along those lines. But either whether it was a sundial or the shadow on the steps, the point is that God is making that shadow move backwards. And that is very impressive. There's been a lot of discussion of that through the years. You know, some have said, well, did he move the sun and did he stop the rotation of the earth? And there's all those discussions that have been made. I would suggest that if you read carefully verse 2 Kings 20 and verse 10, it's the shadow, not the sun or the earth. That's not what God is working with, but the shadow is moving backwards. Either way, whatever is going on there, God is working a great miracle. It would not have been done otherwise. And so it's either a shadow on a series of steps or on a sundial. And this is the sign that is going to show that Hezekiah is indeed going to recover. Now turn with me away from Hezekiah's sickness to his song. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38. And this is impressive. And this is what gets us to be thinking about the time that God gives us. Again, I'm not suggesting that he is providing some miraculous addition of years. But what God gives us is opportunities. This morning is a second chance. It's another opportunity to make our life right if we need to in some way. Each day we get up is an opportunity to do better than we've done the day before. Now, what happens then is that Hezekiah recovers. If you look at, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 21. At the end of this song, Isaiah 38, 21. Now Isaiah said, let them take a cake of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of Jehovah? And of course, we've just read about what that is, the turning back of the shadow. And so this cake of figs is placed on a boil. Apparently, that was a part of the sickness causing death, and he was recovered. Now, when this is going on, Hezekiah thanks God in a song. And I want to look at that right now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 9. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, that's Hezekiah, I said, in the noontide of my days, I shall go into the gates of Sheol or the grave. Notice the noontide. It literally is the midway point through his kingship, 14 years into a 29-year reign. So right there at the halfway point. I am deprived of the residue of my years. The first thing that he says in verses 9 through 12 is, I'm going to die halfway through life in the noontide of my days. Verse 10, I'm deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see Jehovah, even Jehovah, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is removed and is carried away from me as a shepherd's tent. I have rolled up like a weaver my life. He will cut me off from the loom. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. What does that sound like? What does that language sound like? Does it sound like some things in the book of Job? That's the kind of language that Job was using as he's sitting there in the ash heap and he's scraping himself with the potsherd and the boils from head to toe, and he's dying. And that language is coming out. So Hezekiah, while this is maybe at its fullest point, I'm going to die. I'm going to be cut off. That's going to be the end of me. And that's often in Hebrew poetry. You find it in Job. Sometimes you'll find it in some of the Psalms where we just cry out in anguish and agony, and we're talking about how that we're dying, and it's a very negative and bleak part because we're going through the terrible things of the sickness. Verse 13 through 15, I'm going through emotional trouble. There's moaning and bitterness because of my dying. Look at verse 13. I quieted myself until morning as a lion, so he breaketh all my bones. That's how I feel. That God is treating me, and that's Job said similar kind of language. Job talks about how that God was shooting arrows at him, you see. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a swallow or a crane, so did I chatter. I did moan as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed be thou my surety. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. And so, first of all, there's this, I'm being cut off, I'm going to die. Number two, I am in bitter anguish, and I'm moaning over this point in my life where I see my death coming. But then it turns. Verses 16 and 17, he wants to turn to God and ask for help. And of course, we know that he prayed to God. O Lord, verse 16, by these things men live, and wholly therein is the life of my spirit. Wherefore, recover thou me, and make me to live. Behold, it was for my peace that I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. This may have been around the time of him praying and God answering the prayer, where he can see that he's going to recover and that type of thing. He turns to God for deliverance. And then, look at verses 18 through 20. I'm going to praise God in song while I am living. In death it will be too late. Verse 18, for Sheol, or the grave, cannot praise thee. His point here is that when you get to the grave, you can't make your life right. When you get to the grave, there is no more church service. There is no more invitation. There is no going forward to be baptized. There is no reading your Bible. There is no praying. There's none of that in the grave. We've got to do that now. So, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. I can't praise you and obey you and worship you when I'm dead and gone. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. There is no gospel preaching in the grave. There is no turning in the Bible and finding out where it is in the Bible. There is no truth in the grave in the sense of I'm dead and gone and I can open up my Bible and find truth. No. And this was the verse that I was reading a few weeks back that caught my attention. The living, he repeats it twice. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. That impressed me. Are we squandering our living days? Because we're going to die one day, and all of these things that we would like to have, they just won't be present there. There is no opportunity there. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Jehovah is ready to save. Therefore will I sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of Jehovah. The living. In other words, today is the day that I need to praise God while I can. In death, it will be too late. So, Hezekiah's sickness. And then Hezekiah's song. But now, I want us to turn to Hezekiah's second chance. What about these 15 years? You ever thought about that? What did he do with that? Well, we have a little bit of insight. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and as you're turning over there, ask yourself, what would you do? Well, forget the 15 years. What would you do with an extra 15 seconds? An extra 15 hours? An extra 15 days? An extra 15 weeks or months? What would you do with a little extra time? Each day we're given new opportunities and new chances to do what is right. What are we doing with those opportunities? What did Hezekiah do with his? If you were to stop right there in Isaiah and stop right there with that song, you would have a pretty positive picture about Hezekiah. But when you turn to 2 Chronicles now, and you look at verse 32, things are not all that great. And the picture turns a little dark at this point. Because what happens here is what happens often in human nature. And that is, when we get the second chance, right at the very beginning, we have good intentions.
And we got really good attitudes about things, but after a little while, all of a sudden, we're right back into doing maybe what we were doing before. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, then, let's read beginning in verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick even unto death. And he prayed unto Jehovah. We've already read about all of that. And he spake unto him and gave him a sign, the shadow, turning backward. We've looked at that. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now we see how he used his 15 years. He did not render again according to the benefit done unto him. What was the benefit done unto him? God giving him 15 years. But I'm not going to render again what God gave me. I'm not going to turn back and give God what God gave me. I'm going to be lifted up with heart, in my heart with pride, you see. How do you use your second chances? How do I use mine? Later, verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of Jehovah came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Look at verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he provided him treasuries for silver, and for gold, and for precious stones, and for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of goodly vessels, storehouses also for the increase of grain, and new wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and flocks and folds. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much substance. This same Hezekiah also stopped up the upper spring, the waters of Gihon, and brought them straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, and that's Isaiah 39, that's the very next chapter after reading Isaiah 38, the very next chapter, some princes come from Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. That's the shadow being turned backward, and that's his recovery. God left him to test him that he might know all that was in his heart. But turn back with me now to Isaiah 39. What did he do with that? Well, in the midst of being lifted up with his pride, what he did was he said, "Hey guys, come on in here and look at all of my wealth." That's how he's spending his 15 years. Now we need to be careful, brother. When God gives us new opportunities, that we're not squandering it on prideful things and material things. Look at Isaiah 39 and verse 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and all the house of his armor and all that was in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah showed him. The Chronicles passage says that was a test from God. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah and said, "What said these men, and from whence came they?" And Hezekiah said, "They are come from a far country unto me, even unto Babylon." Then Isaiah said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among the treasures that I have not showed them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of Jehovah. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith Jehovah." A few kings later, that's exactly what happens when Nebuchadnezzar comes up against Zedekiah and he carts off all of this stuff that had been seen. Especially in the matter of 2 Chronicles 32, verses 24 and 25, I want to look at that. Hezekiah is given a new lease on life, but he would not render again the benefit that was done unto him. And then the next verse says, his heart was lifted up with pride. Hey, I've gotten a little more time. I'm going to use it for myself. I've gotten a little more time. I'm going to use it for what I want and what I think and what all I have and what I've accomplished. Now, the Scripture says that he humbled himself later, but God was angry. The wrath of God came upon Judah and Jerusalem for that pride. So as we close this morning, I want us to think about this very matter. Does God give you second chances? Does he give me second chances? Absolutely. But how are we using them? So we're given some renewed health after cancer or a disease. We're cured in some way. Maybe we escape some tragic car accident or some major catastrophe. This happens all the time. People get out unscathed from a fire or an earthquake or a traffic accident, or they've been cured of cancer. What are they going to do the next day? The next week, do they start going to services somewhere? Do they obey the Lord? Do they come to? They start reading their Bible? A lot of them just keep doing what they were doing before. What would you do? What would I do? Here's a period of probation after a run-in with the law. Maybe we've been given a warning. Maybe we've been given a little probation period. There was a man arrested last week in Nashville. And when he showed up in court, he had 117 counts against him. 117 from 1980 to the present, in and out of jail, in and out of being accused of breaking the law 117 times. What should he have done after that first time? No, I'm not going to render the benefit that was done unto me. I'm not going to render again the benefit that was done unto me. That's a very powerful verse. God is giving us a benefit by giving us today, in each day. Are we rendering again unto Him the benefit that He's given us? What about more time to change after some personal sin? Or maybe we have a confrontation with brethren and we mess it up. You know, we just say or do something that's wrong and we cause a problem. There's some personal sin in my life and we've got time after that. Do we just keep doing it? Given the same scenario again, would we do the exact same thing again? Or did we learn our lesson? Here's a person who finds the truth after being misled by religious people for years. David talks about this. Eric talks about this. They've been misled for years. They've finally given an opportunity to come to the truth and obey the truth. Some do, but some don't. Now, these men will tell you that they were misled for years by error. And someone showed them the Bible. Someone showed them the Word of God. And they obeyed the gospel. They were converted the right way. They took advantage of their new lease on life. But some don't. What about you? I messed up raising my first child. Just didn't do it right. So here I have a younger sibling. I got an opportunity to do better. Maybe we weren't reading and studying our Bible and going to church services, and maybe I wasn't being the right example on this first one, and I messed up. Parents will tell you that happens. I didn't know what I was doing, and I spiritually wasn't right with God. But here I've got another one coming along. What am I going to do with that one? I've learned from my mistakes, and so I'm going to make some changes. You see, this happens in different areas of our life over and over again. Whether it's physical or spiritual, God is giving us new opportunities. Maybe we make poor judgments. We just say and do and think things that it just wasn't right. You know, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have thought that. And now I have opportunities to make that right. Am I going to do that? Or am I just going to keep going down that road? opportunity to straighten up after brethren admonish. Sometimes you'll have a situation where we have what's called church discipline, and there will be those who will go and talk, and church discipline is enacted, and the preacher goes, and the elders go, and concerned members go, and someone writes a letter or a phone call, and people try and plead, but they just keep going on their way. Jesus talks about Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 and following, about going to that person and taking others and bringing it before the church. And some just won't straighten up. You see. The living. You're living right now. One day you won't be. So you do it now. The living. That's what impressed me. The living. Now is the acceptable time. This would be what Paul would say about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. The living. There's going to come a time when we can't do it. But while we're living each day, that is God giving us an opportunity to make right. The question is, for you and for me this morning, is, are we going to render again the benefit that is done unto us, or are we not going to do that? Now, we all know that when God gives us a day, it is a great benefit. But we've got to render unto Him that benefit that He's given unto us. So here's now a gospel invitation about to be extended. Are you going to render unto God the benefit? We have an opportunity to come back. We have an opportunity to change something in our life. And we can all look introspectively this morning. And whether it's a physical thing like, you know, more time after an illness or a car crash or whatever, or if it's a spiritual thing or whatever these things we listed, or if I didn't even put it on the list. You know what it is. We know what it is that God is giving us another opportunity on. Are we going to render unto Him the benefit that He's done unto us? Well, the answer's for you to decide this morning, for me to decide. Don't be like Hezekiah when the clock was turned back, as it were. And what's interesting about that miracle is, whether it's a sundial or a stair step, it was the same point. It was used as a time-keeping device. And it's as if time is being turned back. And a man is being given more opportunity. And so, don't let it be said unto you that he or she rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him or her, for his or her heart was lifted up. Well, I just don't have to do that right now. If that's the case, then there's going to be a problem. The next verse says, the Lord's wrath was upon him. Let's not be like that. God gives us so much of a new lease on life. Let us use that to our fullest to render unto him again the good that he's done unto us. And if we can assist you in making whatever change that is, why won't you come as we stand and sing?